You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're in Siman Gimel of Eben HaEzer, Sif Dalet Hay and Vav. That's the goal for today. What we're speaking about in general is the status of somebody who claims that he's a Kohen. Do we believe him? In what case will we give him sufficient ne'emanus to believe him? And for what outcome will we believe him? Will we believe him a little bit? Will we believe him a lot? Will we believe him to duchen, to get rishon, and to eat truma, to truma derabanan, truma derais? These are all the questions that we're going to try to figure out this morning. And the specific case that we're going to talk about today is based on the following gemara in Ksuvis, Daf Chaf Kimel Amud Beis, I will share with you on the screen. Mishnah in Ksuvis Chaf Kimel. And the Mishnah talks about an interesting case that you could imagine working. I think I mentioned this case last time we met, which was probably around a month ago, and we mentioned it in short. But imagine the following. If you have a Mashulach knocks on the door, and you see it's not one Mashulach, but two Mashulachim. And one Mashulach walks in and tells you, you know, I'm collecting, but the guy I'm collecting with, he's really a good stock. You know, he's a very worthwhile stock. Thank you. And the other guy says, you know, I'm here collecting, but I know he said I'm a good stock, but you should know his family is really, really, really exceedingly poor. So they're each sort of, you know, patting each other's back. They're each supporting the other one's argument. So that in a certain sense, gives us more credibility because you have somebody else who's testifying for you. On the other hand, they're each doing it for one another. So does that make us more concerned or less concerned? That's something that we're going to see is called gomlin. Each one is like gomel chesed. Each one is repaying the other. And does that allow us to give them more credibility or less credibility? So let's see that discussion introduced in the Mishnah in Ksuvis Daf Chaf Kimel Amud Beis. So if you look on the screen, the Mishnah talks about the following. Two anashim. Shnei anashim. Zelmer koinani v'zelmer koinani. A guy walks into shul, two guys walk into shul. Each one says, I'm a Kohen. We don't believe them. Rashi says, so, I don't know, you know, maybe we'll give them a, you know, Rishon. Maybe, well, we let them duchen if they don't even have an Eidachad, I'm not sure. But if a guy just walks into shul and says, I'm a Kohen, the Mishnah says, we're not going to give him Truma. He doesn't have enough Ne'emanus to extract a monetary benefit and to get Truma. However, the Mishnah says, "Bizman shehin me'idin zeh zeh." When each one has an eidachad, right? I testify for you, and you testify for me. So you have an eidachad, and I have an eidachad, and therefore, since you have an eidachad, that's sufficient to at least eat truma, maybe truma derabanan. So Rashi just explains. I don't know if it's significant. Shemeidin zeh zeh. Each one says, "I'm a kohen." That's fine. And my friend is also a Kohen. So each one is testifying for his friend. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, concluding the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, that's not sufficient. An Eidachad is not enough to eat Truma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein ma'alin lekuna al pi Eidachad. You can't rely, so we have a machlokas. The Tanakhama says, if you have an Eidachad, someone says, my buddy is a Kohen, that's enough. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, no, that's not sufficient. If you have an Eidachad, that's not enough to rely upon to have a Kohen Truma if you just have an Eidachad. I just want to welcome my brother from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Meir Orly and Shlita, dying in the Be'er Sheva Beistin. Welcome, good to have you. So we're learning a Seif a day. My brother, Rav Meir, had to take a Bechina on the entirety of all of Sefer Eben HaEzer, which would take us about, at the rate we're going, probably about 8 years to learn. He had to take a bechina on all of that in one sitting. So I hope if it's not too slow for you, Mori Barabi Rav Meir, please excuse us. But we have a good time as we're going. We go slowly, but we have a good time doing it. Okay, so Rav Yehuda says, we have machlokas in our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says that we're not ma'ala l'kuhuna al pi eidachad. You can't rely on an eidachad that's not sufficient to allow someone to eat truma if it's just eidachad. Now here, we're going to get into an important line of Rashi, and that's what we're going to focus on. Rabbi Yehuda says, we can't rely on an Eidachad, afilu hecha deleka gomlin. Even when it's not in a situation of, you wash my back, I'll wash your back. V'kol shekein hacha de'ikol ha'mechas le'gomlin. Ha'eira ta'alai v'ani alecha. You testify for me, I'll testify for you, we'll both end up in a better financial situation, because both of us will now be able to eat truma. We'll both get, you know, good deals on, you know, we'll both be getting truma gifts. So that you're definitely, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not Neman. But even if you didn't have this chashash for Golden, even if you just had one Eid Echad testifying that you're a Kohen, even that is not sufficient. So what do we have here? We have a Tanakhama who says an Eid Echad is kasher. And it seems that the Tanakhama allows an Eid Echad even when there's a chashash Golden. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're not going to allow an Eid Echad, certainly not when there's Golden. We have to figure out how do we paskin. Do we paskin that an Eid Echad is enough or not? And if you hold that an Eid Echad does work, will we be more nervous if it's a circumstance of Gomlin, that each one might be patting each other's back? Maybe that takes away from the credibility of the Eid Echad. If we have one Eid Echad saying, my friend is a Kohen, but the other friend is saying that I'm a Kohen, so maybe I'm just saying it because he's saying it for me. Does that take away their credibility? So that seems to be Machlokas, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in this Machlokas Tanaim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, this is what we're up to, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Gimel, Sif Dalet. Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows, this is what we're up to. Afilu Boishnayim. V'chol Echad Meir Achaveir Shehu Kohen, Ne'emanim. Yes, it does work. You can rely on an Eid Echad to walk into Beis Din and say, so-and-so is a Kohen, that's sufficient. And not only is an Eid Echad, yes, Ne'eman, but an Eid Echad will be Ne'eman even if the two are working for each other. That I say that he's an Eid Echad, he says I'm an Eid Echad, even then we'll believe, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I say he's a Kohen, and the other fellow says, no, you're also a Kohen. We're each saying one another's a Kohen, which is what we call Gomlin. We're each bettering the other's position, our friend's claim. Still, we are Ne'emanim. We're not worried, we're not choshesh, that there will be this concern that maybe we're lying and we're just trying to buttress one another, we're trying to help each other, I wash your back, you wash my back, and then hopefully the rest of the shul will believe us both that we're Kohanim, we'll both get better Truma donations. We're not worried about any lies in this case, and we will rely on the Eid Echad. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I want to show you that this idea that Ein Choshesh in Legomlin, and therefore, if a guy walks into shul saying, this guy I'm walking into is a Kohen, and he walks in saying the other fellow's a Kohen, we'll believe both of them. This implies that we're not concerned for Gomlin, even in areas of monetary matters. And therefore, so for example, in the case that I gave you before, two people walk in to shul, and two people knock on your door for tzedakah. And each one says, you know, this fellow I'm with is a very worthy cause. So the other guy says, the fellow I'm with is a very worthy cause. Based on what we're going to learn, theoretically, we'll have a certain emunas. I'll show you right now. Look at the very interesting case that the next Shulchan Aruch will show us. And this is a Shulchan Aruch, just to highlight that we're now jumping to Chosh Mishpat, which again, those of us on the call who have taken the Bechinas for Dayanus, my brother Achi B'mori Remeyer had to take a Bechina on all of Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat, if you want to know how long it is, Choshen Mishpat is four times the length of Eben HaEzer. So it's about 400 Saman Siwanim. So he also had to take a Bechina on all of Choshen Mishpat from cover to cover. So that would take us about 28 years to do. So, but we did about 28 years, he had to take a Bechina on in one day. So again, we have more fun maybe, but nevertheless. So this is my brother here. So in Choshen Mishpat Hilchas Eidus, there's the following very interesting situation. I'll pick some people on the call just to make life easier. I take out a shtar, and I say that Steve Schuster, Bearish Elephant, and Pesach Saad owe me money. And on the document it says, Steve Schuster owes me $100, Bearish Elephant owes me $100, and Pesach Saad owes me $100. Now, Steve Schuster and Beirut Elephant and Pesach Saad, all three of them say, we paid up. I'm just getting confused about the case. Each one of them says, I paid up. Yeah. So what do you have? Well, when I have a shtar on three people, Steve Schuster, Beirut Elephant, and Pesach Saad, when the two people, Steve Schuster and Beirut said, when the two people testify, each one said, I paid up. But since there are three people who are all claiming they paid up, they each say that my two friends also paid up. So Steve Schuster and Beirish say, Mr. Saad paid up. Mr. Saad and Beirish say, Dr. Schuster paid up. And Beirish and Mr. Saad says, I'm already confused. What we have here, I'm sorry for being confusing. What we have here is a case where there are three people. And if all three claim that they paid up, there's a shtar that says all three owe money. But if these two, look at my fingers, if these two say that he paid up, and these two say that the third guy paid up, and these two on the outside say that the middle guy paid up, so you effectively have two edim on each of the three loans that it was paid up. Hold on. Oh, so what does the Shulchan Aruch say? We're not worried about Gomer. That's exactly the chiddush of that Shulchan Aruch. Even though you could say they're all in cahoots, that's a better word. That's the word I should have looked for. They're all in cahoots, meaning each one is saying it. A and B is testifying for C. B and C is testifying for A. A and C are testifying for B. They're all in cahoots with one another. No, we don't say that. We will believe them. That's what you see in Hilchus Mamonis, in Hilchus Choshen Mishpat. So let's see that inside. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat in Hilchus Eidah says, Hamotish Shtar Chaval Gimel, Tanu Kulam, each one of them claim Paradu, and they testify for their other friends that their friends also paid up. As long as each one has an independent loan, Im Kol Echad Meher Chayv Asar Zuhuvim La'asmo, each one has an independent loan with this lender, with this creditor. Vein El Chaveir Behem Shutvas, they're not partners, because once you're a partner in part of the loan, then you can't testify for your friend, because you're also in that same testimony. Eduso Ksheira al Chaveiro. And the Sma explains, as Yossi mentioned, V'lo Chai Shirin Legoma. We're not worried that Shezei Yoyed B'Ptur Chaveiroch Deshei Gam Heim Yoyedu B'Pturo. I'll testify that you're Pater, so you could testify that I'm Pater, and therefore we'll both be Pater. We're not worried about that. We actually believe them. So Mr. Bergman is making a point. He's saying that here you have two Adam testifying something, so we believe it, even though it's not, you know, we don't have Golem. That's not necessarily good proof that by one aid we're not going to be choshish for Golem. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. On the other hand, maybe this Adis itself is flawed. Meaning, you're saying if you have two Adim, how can you knock out two Adim? But if I tell you that two Adim doesn't start because the two Adis is itself a Gomlin, maybe you don't have the two Adim. That's the question. Yeah, I hear Yahara. Yahara is a good Ha'ara. But nevertheless, okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You're saying just because that we will listen to the two Eidim and Choshe Mishpat, that might not also enable us to rely on the Eid Echad, to be so not nervous about, to be so carefree and allow the Gomlin here as well. A point taken. Okay, nevertheless, you see the Shulchan Aruch both in. Yeah, I think what it means is, I know that these two guys paid up, and we were all together when we all paid up. That's what Paranu means, we were all together when we all paid up. He's taking out a shtar on all three of us, I paid up, I know that my buddy paid up, I know that the third guy paid up, and he's saying the same thing. And still, Shulchan Aruch says, we're not worried about Gomlin. So I'm just showing you that you have this concept of we were not choshish for kahoots. Both in the areas of Eid Echad by a Kohen, as well as in Mamonis, we're not Chosh for Kahoot. So therefore, I think if you would get a knock on the door from two Mishulachim, and each one says, you know, the other guy is reliable, and the other guy says the other guy is reliable, yeah, I think you do, you should believe them. You should believe them. We would believe them. We're not Chosh for Gomlin. Unless you have reason to question them specifically, I think we have this. That's the concept. The Chacham are aware of the possibility of being in cahoots, and yet we see that in halacha we are not concerned with the concern for cahoots. Okay, fine. The answer is that there are two Adim. There are two Adim who say that it was paid up. So even though you have a shtar, but if you have two Adim say that it was paid up, so the shtar will lose its ability to collect. Yeah. Okay. So now we finished Sif Dalad. And we just one point. The point was we're not choshish for Gomlin, as we saw by Idmamanis, also by Kahuna, two Adim, one Adim and one Adim could each testify for one another, and we will accept both Adim that they're friends. We'll have an Eid Echad that each one's friend So both people will indeed be kohanim. Let's go to Sif Hei. Now, Sif Hei is going to be a case that you've probably come across somewhere in Shas, because I think it appears in numerous places. But it's a line, I think, in a Mishnah. The Gemara is going to expound on it. The Gemara says a fine, Chav Chesam and Beis. A person gets up and says, when he's an adult, he says, I remember when I was a kid, that there was a kid in my class, another kid in my class, and we were so jealous of him, because his dad picked him up from class, they left school, he left school early, we had a test, and he got out of that test because he went to the school early, and his father took him out of school, they went to the mikveh, and he went to eat truma. So if does that memory of an adult from when he was a child, does that childhood memory sufficient, is that a childhood memory sufficient basis to elevate a questionable individual to kahuna? There's somebody who we don't know if he's a kohen or not, and somebody who was in class in elementary school with him remembers that 20 years ago, his father, when he was 9 years old in third grade, his father took him out of class to put him in the dump him in the mikveh and to feed him truma. I don't know the context, not sure. But again, the question is, you don't know that he's a kohen. You just and you're testifying about something that you saw 20 years ago when you were in elementary, when you were in third grade. Now you're an adult, so now you have ne'amanus. But you're testifying about an event that occurred in your childhood. That's part of the chiddush here, that we are going to believe you despite the fact that your memory is a childhood memory. Since you're an adult, we'll listen to you. If you were to be a child who would testify in court, we'd throw you out. But now that you're an adult, you are entitled to testify about a childhood memory. That's the chiddush of the Gemara Ksubis. Frek the Gemara, very nice that you remember that kid in your class in third grade went to, got taken out of class and was dunked in a mikveh and went to eat truma, but that doesn't show that he's a kohen. Maybe that shows that he is an eved of a kohen. Right? Because we know that it's not just a kohen who's allowed to eat truma, also an eved is allowed to eat truma. If you're owned by a kohen, so an eved who's owned by a kohen, so maybe, the kid in your class, you thought he was just a regular kid, maybe he was an eved, and maybe that's why he was owned by a kohen, and maybe that's why he went, that's why he was taken out to go to the mikveh and eat truma. Answers the Gemara, no. We're not concerned that maybe that kid in third grade in the cheder was an eved. Why not? Rav Yishuv ben Levi, asur la'adam shi'lamed es avda Torah. He was sitting next to you in yeshiva. You were learning Eilam Mitzvahs together. You were learning Mishnayos together. If he was with you in yeshiva, that must have meant that he is not an eved. Because if he's an eved, you're not supposed to be learning Torah with an eved. You're not allowed to teach Torah to an eved. So therefore, it must be the fact that he was with yeshiva with you, and you remember that he was in yeshiva with you, the very fact that he was in yeshiva is itself an indication that he wasn't an eved. So then why in the world did he go to the mikveh, did his father take him to the pond, and then give him truma? It must be because he was a real kohen, and your childhood memory is telling us, is testifying that he's indeed a kohen. That's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says. Frek the Gemara, you're telling me that if you have you're telling me that an Eved doesn't learn Torah? I'm going to talk to you for a minute about freeing Avadim. And we'll see that it's not so clear that Avadim can't learn Torah. Look at this. We have a Braisa. Braisa says a number of circumstances that interactions between an Eved and his master, and we'll see if they are considered to demonstrate the Eved's freedom. V'atanya, lava him menu rabo. Let's say the master borrows money from this person who was known to be his slave. Is that a proof that, if the guy's a slave, he shouldn't have any property, and the master should own all of his property. If now the master's borrowing from the Eved, does that show that the Eved has been freed? Case number one. Case number two, osha asa o rabo apotropos. The master appoints this person, signs a power of attorney, and appoints this Eved as an attorney for his own wealth, or for somebody else's wealth, or some other family member's wealth. You would never do that to an Eved. You never give, sign away your will and estate and sign as the trustee on the estate an Eved. Number three, Oshe Hiniach Tfilin Bifnei Rabo. You and I know that even though an Eved might have Dino Ki'isha, and can't do, even an Eved Kanani, I believe, can't do losaseis, or he can't eat treif, but he's not going to do mitzvah, he's not going to put on tefillin. And here we see that the Eved put on tefillin in front of his master. Does that indicate that he must have been freed. Number four, case number four. Oshakara shlosha psukim, excuse me, b'veis haknesses. Meaning, he got an aliyah. The master's in shul, and his eved is sitting, you know, near him in shul, and the eved is called up for an aliyah. Mr. Malik calls up Yamod Ploni, give me some good Greek name. Yassi, give me a good Greek name, Yassi. No, a goyish Greek name. Aristotle. Hercules is a Tana. Okay. It's a Greek name. Okay. Yamod Hercules ben Flavius. That's also, okay, we're at loss for Greek names. Shlishi, that's what Mr. Malik calls him up. So these are all four situations that an Eved should never be in. An Eved should not be lending money to his master. An Eved should not be appointed as a power of attorney. An Eved should not be putting on tefillin. An Eved should not be getting an aliyah. And yet he did get one of these four things. So that presumably should be a great raya that he's a free man, right? And then presumably such an Eved should go free, right? Says the Braisa, Hareza lo yotze l'cheiros. Hariza lo yatz lecheres. It's not a free. It doesn't demonstrate freedom. So what do you see? You see that, at least from the fourth point, the eved who got the aliyah, meaning he's learning Torah publicly, it's not an indication that he's a free man. So how could you tell me in the previous line of the Gemara that the very fact that your friend, your childhood friend in third grade, was in yeshiva with you is a proof that he's an eved? That's not sufficient proof that somebody's an Eved. You're right. Avodim are not supposed to learn Torah. Avodim are not supposed to get aliyahs. Avodim are not supposed to do certain things. But that doesn't mean if you did see an Eved get an aliyah or put on tefillin or become a power of an attorney or lend money, that doesn't mean that's not an indication that he's free. So just because your childhood memory, when you were back in third grade, the guy who sat next to you at yeshiva, your chavrusa in third grade, that doesn't mean that he's a Yisrael. Maybe he's still an Eved. For some reason, he was in yeshiva. I don't know why, but he was. So it's not a proof. You thought that the very fact that it's also for a person to learn Torah and the fact that he's in yeshiva with you prove that he's not an Eved. No, you could learn Torah wrongly and still be an Eved. So what's the proof that your childhood friend is a Kohen? Maybe he's an Eved of a Kohen. That's why he ate Shuma. Answers the Gemara in Ksuvis. Hasam. De ikri Eved midaito.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Over there in that braisa that we say that he's still an Eved, even though he put on tefillin and he got an aliyah and he was made an attorney and he lent money, that, the ikri Eved midaita, that's where he still considers himself an Eved. I think that's what it means, the ikri Eved midaita. He still considers himself an Eved. I don't remember. I'm sorry, I don't have Rashi in front of me right now. Maybe that's what it means. Over there, the master's still calling. You say the master's calling him the Eved? As opposed to the yeshiva, the guy who picked him up the third grader says, Tati, thank you for taking me out of class. I'm glad I don't have to, you know, take the quiz now. Fine. So either way, the Gemara's conclusion is that we can't, that if you have somebody who seems to be a child, And we remember that and seems to be picked up by his father and went to go to the mikvah and eat truma, the childhood memory of that situation will enable the questionable person to be considered a kohen. That's the psak that we see from the story. And now comes the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Gimel Sif Hei, which is what we're up to, the following case of Ne'emanus. Says the Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei, Ne'eman HaGadol Lomar. An adult, remember, a child is not believed to testify, but if you're an adult and you're testifying about your childhood memory, here the Shulchan Aruch is mechadesh that does suffice. Ne'eman HaGadol Lomar, Zichurani, I recall, I remember, Kishayisi Tinok, when I was in third grade, Shayisi Leploni Tovel V'Olcha B'Truma, Umalin Oso Al Pivlios Kohen, we will rely on that childhood memory as a testimony to be at least a Kohen, Kekohenes Man Hazeh. Right, we might not let him, of course, do avoda with that kind of memory. We're not going to let him eat truma de araisa, but at least truma de rabbanon, that we will give an individual who has a testimony from a childhood memory of a classmate that this fellow is a kohen. That's enough. That's considered enough of an eid echad. You remember, we need an eid echad. And we pass that Eid Achad is enough to allow somebody to become a Kohen, at least Bisman Azet, to eat Shuma Derabbanan. So if we'll rely on Eid Achad, the Eid Achad could be even an Eid Achad testifying about a childhood memory. Even that's enough to be considered. So if you remember one of the guys who were your friends in third, fourth, fifth grade, and you remember one of them had some, you remember that he was a Kohen, and you would testify now, that would be enough of an Eidus, of an Eid Achad, that he's a good Kohen. Fine. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskus, based on the story that we just saw. Says the Chelkas Mechokek, one of the, again, the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, on Eben Ha'ezer. If you recall, ask you to look on the screen, and does the Shulchan Aruch pattern match the Gemara? What was the case in the Gemara? And let's see if you could compare that to that same case in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry, I can't highlight both at the same time. The Gemara said, I'm testifying, this fellow remembers from third grade, Shahayu ish ploni yotzi mi beis ha-sefer litbol lechol betruma. What is he saying? I remember that my friend was in yeshiva with me. He was taken out of yeshiva to go yeshuma. Look at this Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is omitting a word or a few words. Ne'eman ha-gadol lomar, the adult is Ne'eman to say, I remember k'shayisi tinek, when I was in third grade, Shari'is l'ploni tova va'ochel b'truma, but what is it missing? What is the Shulchan Aruch omitting? Took him out from where? Yeah, does it say that in the Shulchan Aruch? That's true. You saw him eating the truma. Agreed. You saw him eating the truma. But there's still something that the Gemara says that the Shulchan Aruch is omitting. What did the Gemara, yes, say that the Shulchan Aruch is omitting? The fact that he's in yeshiva, right? Look here. The Gemara said that so-and-so was in yeshiva with me and his father took him out. He was in Beis Sefer with me and his father took him out to dunk him and give him truma. And here, we don't have any mention about being in yeshiva. Don't you have the Gemara's question? Wait a second. If the guy who's in... who you remember, your playmate in third grade, you remember that he once was, his father picked him up, you know, in the middle of a baseball game to eat, you know, to take him to the pond and dunk him and give him truma. Well, maybe he's an Eved. How do you know that he was a Jew at all? Maybe he wasn't a Kohen. Maybe he was just an Eved Kohen. If he was in yeshiva, okay, that's, you know, an indication that he was in yeshiva. So we're not going to talk about that at all in terms of a person being losing his kuna status. Right now we just want to figure out, was he a Kohen to start? Was he born a Kohen? So that, your question, we're not going to be discussing today at all. It's a good point, but I'm not going to have anything to say about it today. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I understand. Maybe that's what it means in these three words of the Gemara. When it says, means you actually saw that he ate Shema also. Let's assume that means the same thing. Right, that's the question that the Chelkas Mechokik, that's the question that I wanted to bring to. Here in the Gemara it says specifically that you took him out, Yotzimi Beis HaSefer. But when the Shulchan Aruch presents the case, he just says, I remember that when I was a kid, they, you know, somebody picked him up and took him to dunk him and give him truma. Maybe from the baseball game, maybe from the baseball field, maybe from my soccer game, from the Little League. We don't see they were in yeshiva. So asks the... Exactly, that's what I mean to say. That's my question. How come the Shulchan Aruch, when it records this case of the Gemara, it omits the fact that he was in yeshiva, which presumably is the indication that he's actually Jewish, and not just an Eved? That's the question of the Chalkas Mechokek. And the Chalkas Mechokek asks, B'mishnah Tanan, Ish Ploni, I underline, Yotzami Beis HaSefer Litvalecho B'Truma, which the Gemara says is specific, Davka from the Beis HaSefer, because by virtue of the fact that they were in Cheder together, that takes away the chshash, the kedei lehotziyo mechshash eved. Ratzal lomer in parentheses, the Chalkas Mechokek explains, me'acha dekesani yotzmi beis ha-sefer, lav eved hu. He must not be an eved. The eved also lomo Torah. And how come here, the Shulchan Aruch omits the fact that he was in yeshiva? That's the question of the Chalkas Mechokek. So the Chalkas Mechokek wants to say that It's not such a question, because if you turn back the Shulchan Aruch a little bit earlier, this story was mentioned somewhere earlier. I'm looking at my Shulchan Aruch. Where was it? Yeah, it's talking all the way in the beginning of the Siman Gimel. It talks about a story where somebody was, again, as Mr. Bergman pointed out, was Mesiach Lefitumo, and was telling us a story that when I was a little boy and I was riding on my father's shoulders, he took me out of yeshiva. So it was mentioned the idea of yeshiva there, so therefore here it just omitted that point. But really, it's true. You need to be the fact that the person of the question was in yeshiva to ascertain to us, to affirm for us that he indeed is Jewish, not just an Eved. But it wasn't mentioned here because it was relying on what it said orally in the siman. Okay, fine. Be that as it may. We have the Avnei Milua. What is he going to say? Let's see. Okay, so if we could look at one more point, the tour hushmat gam sham. Apparently, when the tour brings this halacha, that the person is testifying about what happened in third grade, the Torah also omits the fact that it was in yeshiva. So the question is that significant or is it not significant? Do we really care if the kid was in yeshiva? Are we worried that he's an Eved? Let's take a step back. You all went to yeshiva for elementary school. You went to school. So if somebody was a Kohen, okay, here's a Kohen. Are you concerned that any of your friends were avadim? Now, what was the case? The case was that you remember that your third grade friend, his father or his somebody picked him up to dunk him in the mikveh and give him truma. And you saw him going to the mikveh. You saw he had his bathing suit with him, and you saw him you saw him eat the truma. He had a special truma, you know, lunchbox the next day. Do you have to assume that he might have been an eved? Well, what's the whole point of the fact that he was in yeshiva with you makes you not have to be worried that maybe he was an Eved? Do we generally assume that people are avadim? Does any of you in your elementary school class have avadim in class? Do you have to choshet any of your friends in school or on the ball field or on the soccer court, the soccer field or the baseball diamond? Do any of you have to, you know, Beirish is wearing his baseball t-shirt, right? Are we choshet that your friends at the baseball field are avadim? Since when are we choshesh? Maybe it's the opposite. If they can hit, then okay, we're not going to say anything. Fine. Okay, better you like that. Let's see what the Avnei Milum is going to raise this issue, that since when are we choshesh that somebody's in Eved? The only reason why you need to say that he's in yeshiva, that they're in cheder, is because, otherwise maybe he's eating the truma, and not because he's a Jewish Kohen, maybe he's an Eved of a Kohen. So say that he's in yeshiva to make sure that he's not an Eved. Well, you only have to say that. You only have to say that, oh, he was in yeshiva, so therefore he's not an Eved, if there is the possibility of being choshesh that Stam Jews are Avadim. If we don't assume that Stam Jews might be Avadim, then mehechatesi should assume a guy your childhood from is an Eved. Why should you just assume? I mean, you all had friends when you all played stickball and baseball and basketball when you were kids. I don't think any of you assumed that one of your buddies was an Eved. Was he a Kohen or not? I don't know. But I don't think any of you assumed that any of your friends were Avadim. So why should we assume this guy was an Eved? He's eating Truma because he's a married Kohen. Why should anyone assume he's an Eved? That might determine, are we worried that Stam a Jew is possibly an Eved? That will determine whether or not, as this is what the Avnei Milum is going to point out, whether or not you need a testimony that he was learning Torah. If you hold Stam a Jew, yeah, maybe he's an Eved. Well, then I need to know that he was in yeshiva with me. He was learning Torah, so that he wasn't eating Truma as an Eved of a Kohen. If, on the other hand, we never assume friends of mine are Avadim, that Stam Jews are Avadim, so I don't need him, this fellow, to be in yeshiva with me. Because the whole reason why he's in yeshiva with me is just to take off the possibility of the fact that he's an Eved. Even if I played ball with him, and that's where my acquaintance was, that's where I saw him being picked up to go to the mikveh nitruma, from the ball field, well, the fact that he was picked up to eat truma, he must be a Kohen. Eved? None of my friends are Avadim. So let's see this Avnei Milum inside. The Beis Shmuhi, this is Avnei Miluim, of course, the Nesivus's incredible commentary on Evan HaEzer. And he says the following, he quotes the Beis Shmuel, the Rambam says that you have to specify that the... Thank you, I made a mistake. Thank you. So the Beis Shmuel says, V'Rambam Matzrich Lomar Hotziyami Beis HaSefer. The Rambam specifies, if you open up a Rambam, it's not like our Shulchan Aruch. Remember, our Shulchan Aruch omitted the word that he was in yeshiva with me? The Rambam does specify, like the Mishnah said explicitly, that I recall when I was in third grade, the father picked him up and took him out of class, out of yeshiva, out of the cheder. Why? Explains the Avnei Miluim. Why do you have to specify that he was in yeshiva? The Svirlei, Misha Ein Mishpachta Yedua Lanu, somebody whose family we are not aware of, we don't know, it's not a Mishpacha Yedua, Chayshinan Shema Eved, O Mamzeru. So if Stam, a family, an unknown family, a family that's new in town, whom we don't know, we're not familiar with, we are worried that maybe they're Avadim or Mamzerin. So then you will need that extra prat of him being in class with you, in yeshiva with you, in order to make sure that he's a Jewish. Vahatur, if you remember, the tour omitted the fact that he was in yeshiva. Why the tour omit that? Vahatur svirlei, afilu mi she'en mishpachta yedua lanu, mikol makom lo chayshin Hashem eved hu. We're not worried that somebody's an eved. And since Stam a person, we're not worried that somebody's an eved. So if you see somebody, if you remember your friend from elementary school, from whatever, from third grade eating shuma, it doesn't have to be that he was picked up from yeshiva, that he was learning in yeshiva with you. Even if he was your friend, not from yeshiva, but you played ball together from the courts, from the fields, that's also enough to, because we're not choshes that anyone's avadim. So you see him eating shuma, he must be an eved. He must be a kohen. Oh, maybe he's an eved. We don't assume anyone's an eved. You don't need that extra proof that he was in yeshiva that proves that he wasn't an eved. You don't need that. Says that's what the Torah holds. The problem is, our Mishnah did say that I remember that he was in yeshiva. The Mishnah said it specifically. How come the Torah is changing with the Mishnah, you know, the Psak of the Mishnah? Kasha ledas haTorah. The Torah who omitted the word that he was in yeshiva with me. Oh, because the Torah is assuming that we're not choshish for people being a stam avadim. Imken lama Torah, but Mishnah say no lama, be safer. Is it true that in the time of the tour, in the 1300s, 1400s, the Jews didn't own avadim? Yesterday we gave shir in the afternoon. I spoke about Bishul Akum, and one of the discussions in Bishul Akum, which we mentioned tangentially, which we didn't go through inside yesterday in our shir, but we mentioned tangentially, is a Rashba who discusses what's the status of the avadim who are the shvachos, who are knuyos lanu. If they cook, do we have to worry about bishul akum? Right, I applied it to the case of an elder care nursing aide. Right, you have an elderly mother, an elderly father, and the older person and their aide, their elder care aide, is cooking in the house for them. Is that bishul akum? The Rashba, who lived a little bit before the tour, not a huge amount before the tour, 150 years, maybe 200 years before the tour, if Rabbi Sarblik will correct me if I'm too off. Rashba lived in 1250s, right, Yossi? And the tour was 14-something? No, the tour was the son of the Rush. The Rashba and the Rush were contemporaneous, so it was one or two generations later. Yeah, so it's one or two generations later. Okay, so the Rashba, but if you're Kinyan Kaspo of a Kohen, then you have the right to eat Truma, right? So I don't know if you need all the halachas of Evid Kanani. I don't know I'm not holding the sig of Evid Kanani. Maybe you need something based on Mikdash, Bismash Yevul Noheg, that could be, I'm not sure. But it could be that it's sufficient to just be Kaspo, Kinyan Kaspo, to be kosher to eat Truma. I don't know. But I hear your suggestion that maybe the Torah omitted the concept of being in yeshiva, which we were only worried about that maybe he's never, because the Torah is talking about a time where we don't have that concern about them. It could be. I guess they didn't say that for whatever reason. So let's see. The Avnei Miluim is going to say something interesting. He's going to say something a little bit lamdash. Says the Avnei Miluim, L'chein yira, da'afal gav de svir lei. Really, we hold that Stama Jew, Stama family, you could assume they're a kosher family. You don't have to assume that any of the people in shul, any of your friends, any of your childhood friends, any of the people you play ball with, you don't have to assume any of them are mamzerim or are avadim. Afilu hachi likuhuna chayshinan tfei. Of course we're not worried, Stam, that one of your buddies was an Eved. You don't have to be choshish in general that your friend's an Eved, or people you associate with are possibly legally Avadim. But when it comes to Yichus Kahuna, then we just have a higher threshold of clarity that's necessary. But I feel the Truma D'Rabbanan, even though it's only Truma D'Rabbanan, it's not such a big deal. Still, Mishum Milas Yichus Kahuna. When it comes to confirming that somebody's a Kohen for the Milas that we want to make for Yichus Kahuna, they were a little bit extra cautious. And even though we're generally not choshish that stam people, again, if a girl wants to marry your son, if a boy wants to marry your daughter, you don't have to question whether, and you don't know with his family, he's a Baal Tshuva from some out-of-town community, you don't know the family, you don't have to be worried that they're an Eved or a Mamzer. True. Fine. That we learned a few months ago. But when it comes to kahuna, to know if the person is going to be elevated to the status of a Kohen, then maybe, well, we're not going to be so quickly accepting. We do have this higher threshold and higher level of confirmation, and we will have a little shash that maybe for kahuna we will want to make sure that they're not an Eved. Now he says the following lamdas. Nira, demitzan harov, if you have, let's talk about for kahuna purposes. For kahuna purposes, you have a guy, should you assume that he's an Eved? The rov of the people are not avadim, right? So you have the right to assume that when you have this person under question who we're trying to figure out, is he a Kohen or not? Well, the rove of people are not avadim. And therefore, rove, if this fellow, whoever's in your third grade class, the rove tells us he's not an Eved. No, if it's not a rove, ain't no Eved or Mamzer. Aval, but you also want to say right now that he is a Kohen. Well, if you want to say affirmatively that he is a Kohen, that's also against the rove. Aval lomer shehu Kohen duhu neged ruba de'alma she'enem konim, im kein chayshinan hada chalchum ala mishum Kohen hu el mishum Eved Kohen. The Avin Milum is saying an incredible lumdus. He's saying, you want to testify that so-and-so is a Kohen? Well, guess what? If you testify that he's a Kohen, that means you're saying that he is not from the Rove, because Rove people are not Kohanim, right? So if you want to say that so-and-so is a Kohen, you want to make him be among those who are not in the Rove. So you are like pushing against the Rove. You're saying he's not among the Rove. Yes, 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 100%. These are two different Roves. Yes, these are two different roves. One's a rove of that rove people are not avadim or mamzeim. Another rove is a rove people are not kohanim. What he was trying to do is he's trying to link the fact that if I want to testify that somebody is among them is one of the few and select. What is it? What do they say about the U.S. Marines? The few, the proud, something like that. The few, the proud, whatever, something like that. If I want to testify that somebody's a kohen, I'm testifying that he is of the minority. If I'm going to do that, then if I want to already say that he's not from the Rove, and therefore that he's from the minority of Jews and he's a Kohen, I can't rely, hold on, I can't rely on the fact that, but Rove of them are not Avadim. I mean, if I want to say there's a Stamagiyid and he's from the Rove, okay. So you don't have to assume he's going to be a Mamzer, you don't have to assume he's an Eved, but you have no right to assume that he's a Kohen either. If I want to take a step forward and say, this person is a Kohen, he's from the Miut, once I'm saying he's from the Miut, then maybe he's also from the Miut of people who are Avadim, who are Mamzerim. I hear Yossi's question. Yossi's saying these are different Miuts. I don't want to get into the difference between roves and chazakas. Let's stick to roves. They're both there. There's a rove that most people are not avadim. There's a rove that most people are not kohanim. If I want to stand up and say that somebody is a kohen, and therefore you're from the miut, you're from the kohanim. Well, once I'm going to do that, then maybe he's also from the miut, and maybe he's an eved. That's what the avnei milum. That's a chiddush. A lamdash a chiddush, which again is a little bit troubling. Let's see it inside. Nira, the mitzad harov eno eved o mamzer. Normally, typically, we follow Rove. We don't assume anyone's an Eved. We don't assume anyone's a Mamzer. You want to marry your daughter to a guy. You want to marry your son to a girl. You don't have to assume they're from a family of Mamzer and Ravadim. Aval, but once you want to take the step forward, aval lomashu kohen to who neged ruba diama she'enam konim. If you want to put forth that somebody is a kohen and he is from the miut, im ken chashinan, we're also going to be worried that hodachal tshuma la mishum kohen hu el mishum eved kohen. Maybe he's from the miut of avadim. I mean, once you're defining so and so as not being from the rov. In the world of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisrael, once you're saying he's a Kohen, he's a special, he's from the Miut, and he's a Kohen, well, maybe he's also from the Miut, who's Avadim. So long as we have Stama person, you don't have to assume Stama person is a Mamzer or an Eved. Why? Because Stama person is from the Rov. But once you've taken the step forward and saying this person is not from the Rov, I realize it's a different Rov. It's a Rov of, he's not from the Rov Yisrael, he's a Kohen. Well, once you're identifying so-and-so as among the Miut, he's a standalone. He's a different type of guy. He's a Kohen guy from the Miut. Well, once you define him as a standalone Miut man, you also have to be worried that he's a Miut man and maybe he's also an Eved, even though Evedim are a Miut. I hear Yassi's Ha'ara, it's a good Ha'ara. I hear Doctor's Ha'ara, it's a good Ha'ara. This is the Lamdas Davnei Milun is trying to put forth. It's an interesting Lamdas. In Lamdas, it's interesting. To say that once somebody is no longer in the Rov Lagabi area A, we also have to be concerned that he's in the Miut. Once somebody's in, I'm defining somebody's in the Miut Lagabi area A, I'm also worried that he's in the Miut Lagabi area B. You're saying, why should the two mix? If he's the Miut from Lagabi A, why should I assume that Lagabi question B? As far as Avodim and Kesherim, should I also assume that he's in the Miut? Yeah, that's what he wants to explain. That's what he wants to say. That normally we don't assume anyone's a Rov. Anyone's an Eved. But once to come to Kahuna, and you're trying to say that anyway he's already in the Miut because he's a Kohen, then all of a sudden you have to say that he's among the, he's among those who are also possibly in the Miut of Avadim, and we have to make sure that he's in Yeshiva to take care of that potential possibility of him being an Eved. And once he's in Yeshiva, then we're not worried that he's an Eved. I don't know what the numbers are. Again, we're just dealing with Rov and Miut. I don't know how much of a Miut are Avadim. I don't know what the populations were. I don't know how many Avadim there were, how many freemen there were. All I know is that there are a Miut of Avadim, there are a Miut of Kohanim. Exactly what the percentage is, I don't know. Okay, let's finish this point up. The Hatur concludes the Amnei Milum. You remember there was the opinion of the Tur who omitted the word Beis HaSefer? That we're not worried? That somebody was in yeshiva to prove that he's not an Eved? Why isn't he worried that somebody's an Eved? So he's going to say what Benny Goodman said a moment ago. The Va'atzah Seinu, the tourist time in the tourist cities, Lo Shchichi Avada, Shemola, V'tavla, Shemavdus. Benny, that's exactly what the Avnei Milum is saying. That in nowadays, meaning in the time of the tour, they didn't have the Avadim who are the potential people who could eat truma. I guess the Avnei Milum knew more about Hilchas Avdus than Uri Orlian. Not a surprise on any length of anything. But I guess the Avnei Milum is telling us that in order to eat truma, it's not just enough to be owned, like on the plantations to be owned. You had to have a mila and a tefillah l'shem Avdus and be kinyan kaspo. Then you'll be able to be an Eved that could eat truma. I didn't realize that. So I guess that was not common, as you pointed out, in the time of the tour, and therefore there's no chash according to the tour, since the tour is writing about a time when we didn't have such a thing that was common. We didn't have to be choshish for the possibility of somebody being an Eved. Okay, that's the end of Sif Hei. Let's try to do. Let's try to finish Sif Vav. We have time for Sif Vav. Yes, it's not as lumdish. It's a little bit easier. It's not as lumdish, but let's try to do this. Okay, so now we're up to the next point, and this is going to be the last section of the shir. Anu se'if, next if we're up to Simon Gimel se'if Vav. Without any background Gemaras, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Maybe there are no background Gemaras. I guess when I prepared it, I realized there are no background Gemaras other than maybe the exact words. Misha Bava Amar, Kohen Ani. Guy walks into Shul and says, Mr. Malik, I want an Aliyah. I'm a Kohen. But what? And there are people who know him. But look what the people who know him. The people don't know him. They know his dad. Ve'edach od me'eshi odeh ba'aviv shu Kohen. Right? You remember we were talking about, are we worried that maybe something happened, somebody did something wrong, maybe his father married had married to a shiktza or a grusha? What about the, just because you know the father, does that mean that the kid is also a kosher kohen? So a guy walks into the basement saying, walks into shul saying, I'm a kohen. And so he says, wait, you're so-and-so's son? I was in Brownsville, I was in, in the Lower East Side, we grew up in Williamsburg, your father was in the shtiebel, I remember your father. You don't know the kid, he's a 20-year-old kid, you remember his father from Brownsville. Why? Because of what you were worried about before. Because maybe you were right in remembering that the father was a Kohen. But maybe this son who's walking into shul now is a chalal. Shema chalal hu. Ad sheyod, you actually need an edus of an edachad. Sheyod shezeh kohen hu. Remember, an edachad is sufficient. If a guy walks into shul and he has a friend and says, so-and-so is a kohen, you'll listen to him. But if a guy walks into shul saying, I'm a kohen, and one of the guys in shul remembered that his father's a kohen, that's not enough. Just because the father's a Kohen, I told you the story that I had in my one of my Talmidim years ago, that the father was 100% a Kohen, but he married a woman who had a din of, for whatever reason, a Zona. And his son, the kid of my Shir, was, although he grew up thinking he was a Kohen, when we realized the halachas, and he realized what the halachas of what his father, how his father was supposed to carry himself, and his father did not live up to the demands of a Kohen. So this child who was born from his mother, who is not... who is not the most eligible woman to marry a Kohen. So he was not a Kohen. And that's exactly what we're worried about. If a guy walks into shul saying, I'm a Kohen, even if somebody knows his dad, it doesn't help. Aval, but now look here. That's if there's an Eid Echad that the father's a Kohen. Aval, Huchzuk Aviv Kohen? That's more than just there's one guy in shul who remembers his father from Brownsville. If Huchzuk Aviv Kohen, meaning we all know that his father was a Kohen. It's not that there was just an Eid Echad. Oshi Yavo Shnayev Eidush Aviv Shalzeh Kohen Hu? Or there were two people that the father was a Kohen? Then Harayu Becheskas Aviv. What a wild chiluk the Shulchan Aruch is presenting to us. If you have a guy who claims he's a Kohen and you have one Eid that the father's a Kohen, then hey, just because that the father might have been a Kohen doesn't mean you're a Kohen. But if you have two Eidim that the father's a Kohen, then you must be a Kohen. This doesn't make any sense, does it? If we're worried that maybe the father married a Grusha and this kid is a product of a Grusha, for example, and is a Chalal, so does it make a difference if the father was a Kohen with one Eid or two Eidim? Either way, the father might have messed up. What is the indication about the father's status demonstrate for us what the kid is? If you're saying you can't rely on the father to tell us who the kid is because maybe the kid's a Chalal, so how come, but if there are two witnesses about the father, then it is sufficient to rely on the father. So here we have the Chalkas Mechokek say, no, don't be so bothered by this. I told you that this is the Rambam's opinion. This opinion who says that if a father walks, if you have an Eid Echad about the father, say the father's a Kohen, we can't rely on that. Or if there's an Eid Echad that you're a Kohen, we'll listen to. An Eid Echad that your father's a Kohen, we ignore, we don't listen to. That's the Rambam's opinion. We don't paskin like that, says the Chalkas Mechokek. Einon muskam ishar poskim. Ubiprapis man hazesh, a komishbachas becheskas ksheros heim. Lamana echosh klal, lechalal. We're not choshesh. Nowadays, we assume everybody's kosher, everybody's beautiful. You want to marry any? My daughter's going out with any boy. I don't have to be worried who that boy is. My daughter's going out, my son's going out with any girl. I don't have to be worried who that girl is. We're not choshesh for mess ups. And therefore, if you know who the father is, why should you assume that anything's wrong with the kid? That's what the Chalkas Mechokek. So the Chalkas Mechokek is effectively saying that we do not paskin like this Shulchan Aruch. This Shulchan Aruch is unnecessary. Is the Das Yachar of the Rambam. We are more lenient, and as long as anyone knows who the father is, you know, if I testify that you're a Kohen, or that your father's a Kohen, we could assume that the kid is a kosher Kohen. We don't have to assume maybe something happened, something not so appropriate happened, and the kid's maybe a Chalal. You don't have to assume that. Comes a Beis Shmuel, and he explains this very funny distinction that the Shulchan Aruch was presenting to us. Again, the Shulchan Aruch, and he's going to do this with a very sharp lamdash achilak. Again, the Shulchan Aruch said that if I walk in and say, you know, Yankee's a Kohen, we believe me. Erecha is believed. But regarding a father, then Erecha is not believed. But regarding a father, two Edom is believed. But what's the difference if the kid's a chal or not? Why does it matter if the father had a single testimony or a double testimony? Look at what the Beis Shmuel says. What's the difference? Says the Beis Shmuel, I'm going to show you a tremendous chiluk in lamdus, and therefore, based on the lamdus chiluk, you'll see why. In one case, we're worried that maybe the son's a chal, in the other case, we're not worried the son's a chal. Ulamashik cause of diyesh lechal ibenu mishpachta yadua benheichad ei mishpachta yadua yesh tantan lezinza. I'm sorry, leave that line out for now. He says the following. If you remember from a few weeks ago, we talked about different kinds of families. We talked about families from the community and families outside the community. A family who's in the community, what we call Mishpacha Yadua, we know who they are. No, we don't have any questions on them. When you have a family outside the community, Mishpacha Sheni Yadua, there could be all kinds of questions that we ask. We don't know who they are. So look what the Beis Shmuel is going to put forth. He's going to say the following. Bullet point number one. When the father, we all know who the father is a Kohen, or the father has two Edim that he was a Kohen. You know what that does? That makes this family a Mishpacha Yedua. A Mishpacha Yedua, Sula Chayshin and Shemachalohu. However, if we don't know the father's family at all, we don't have two Edim on the father's family, it's just an Erech, it happened to say the father's a Kohen, that's a situation where it's a mishpacha she'eni yadua. If it's a mishpacha she'eni yadua, because of that, cheshinu shamachaluhu. We are not worried about people when we know it's a part of the community, part of the Jewish community, we're not concerned that maybe they're a chalal. Normal families are not chalal, we're accused of being chalal. But when you have an unknown, unidentified person walks in, we have no idea where they're coming from, then we're worried about a chalal. So therefore, if you have two edim about a father, it's like you know him. If the father's part of the community, that he was, and we know that he was a Kohen. So this is a Mishpacha Yadua. We assume his son is normal. And he's not a Chal, he's a Kohen, just like his father was. But if you have somebody who we don't know the father, there's just an Eid Echad saying the father happened to be a Kohen, that doesn't give him a status of, we don't know this family, it's a Mishpacha Sheni Yadua. And with Mishpacha Sheni Yadua, we are worried. Maybe there's a Chal. And that is a fascinating split of the Beis Shmuel to explain this distinction, why, whether the father had an Eid Echad on him or two Eidim on him, whether we could assume that the son is a Chalo. So we're going to stop here. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we're going to see a fascinating line of the Ramah. I'll show you the line of the Ramah. We're going to see a fascinating source. The Ramah is going to say that we, in general, follow Chazaka. The Ramah is going to say that if the father, you know, if the father was a Kohen, you could assume the son's a Kohen, if you have a Chazaka, the father was, we could follow Chazaka. And the Ramah says, a line that you might have seen in Shas, that we follow Chazaka for everything, even for Shari Sorfen V'Solkan al Chazaka, even if you have a Chazaka, that something is true, we could even give a fellow Skila based on that Chazaka.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.